The first reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35. This can be found on page 1028 of the Pew Bibles. That is Luke 2, starting at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May my words be your words. May our ears be open to hear them, and may our hearts and minds be ready to receive your message for us this morning. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So this morning we're going to hear through God's word slightly differently in sort of three bite-sized chunks. And don't panic, because you won't get in three huge sermons. The first one is the longest chunk to bite. But page, I think, 1028 or 1027 in the Church Bibles, if you wish to follow. It'll give us a chance to reflect after each one, really. And we're looking at three examples of faith this morning. But first of all, what is faith? If you think about it, everybody shows faith every day, really. We get on a bus or a train or a plane. We don't always see who's driving it or flying it. But we have faith that it will actually fly. And when we turn the ignition on in the car, we have faith that it will start. Well, we hope it will. And I don't have such faith in my computer at the moment, but that's another issue. That comes on to my second point about prayer, I think. And a Christian is someone who believes in God. We can't see God, but we know he's there and he's in control. I read the following about an elderly lady who was asked about her great faith in God. "What is the secret of your faith?" she was asked. "I'm a woman of little faith in a great God," she replied. And I can just imagine my late mother-in-law saying that. God is just so big, isn't he? And if one is looking for a meaningful definition of faith, then look no further than the beginning of chapter 11 of Hebrews. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." So actually, each one of these bite-sized examples today shows three qualities I'd like to highlight about faith: patience, prayer, and preparation. They're inextricably bound, but we're going to look at each one. Firstly, Simeon. We've just heard about Simeon. And patience, something that I'm definitely lacking. Wasn't much being handed out when I was around. The Jews regarded themselves as God's chosen people, and they were waiting for their champion to come and lead them so they could be masters of the world. Simeon was one of those that was waiting patiently and quietly, in expectation that God would come to lead his people. He clearly had that patient faith that Isaiah was thinking about when he said, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem." Simeon had faith in the promise that he'd been given by the Holy Spirit that he would see Jesus before he died. Surely he must have been tempted to doubt that because, let's face it, he was getting pretty old. But no, he kept on patiently waiting, praying and watching. And he was rewarded. The Spirit led him into the temple as Mary and Joseph brought Jesus in. The Spirit showed him that this would be the baby who would be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And this is the first mention of that universal redemption that was going to go to the whole world. For we read in Isaiah, "I will also make you a light for the Gentiles." But whilst there was thanksgiving, Simeon also warned Mary that she would suffer. There would be those opposed to Jesus. A sword would pierce her heart. As for Simeon, his patient waiting was over. His work was done, and he recognizes and praises that in the words of what we call the Nunc Dimittis, and we'll have a bit more of that as we reflect quietly at the end. We'll come back to that, but in the meantime, we'll continue with this story after we've sung our next song. So let's stand to sing Lord Jesus Christ.
Caroline, you've slotted in very nicely there.
So from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 36, page 1028. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Patience shown by Simeon, and now we hear about the prayerful watchfulness of Anna, another elderly, devout person. So who said age was a barrier to service? All we know about Anna is really what is written here in this bit of scripture. As a widow, she'd clearly known sorrow, but she wasn't bitter about it. Sorrow and suffering can undermine your faith, but actually it can also strengthen it. I'm sure we've all seen examples of both of those. Anna may have been old, but she didn't stop hoping. So how come? Well, two lessons we could learn from that. She didn't stop worshipping. She was spending her time in God's house with God's people. So should we be whenever we can. And that's why it's great to have all the churches and all ages worshipping together this morning. And some of us might think, yes, we could do this more often, couldn't we? But also, importantly, Anna didn't cease to pray. Luke says, she worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Verse 37. I'm not sure we can exactly or would want to exactly replicate that example, but we can certainly strive to follow it. For us as Christians, waiting for Christ's return, like Anna, it's challenging. And we're not going to go deeply into the subject of prayer now. Sadly, though, prayer can be a daunting prospect for some, and quite often, all of us, we don't know how to pray or what to pray for. But don't follow this slightly facetious example. Susan, to quote a name, said the group leader, addressing one of the youngsters in the group, "Do you say your prayers every night?" "No," she replied, "not every night, because I don't always have something to ask for." Nor should we also expect an instant answer to prayer. Unlike this little girl who said, "Mummy, I'm not going to finish my prayers with Amen anymore. I'm going to say RSVP. I'm sure you've probably heard that one, but. But back to Anna. Let's look at it through her eyes for a minute. She could be imagined as saying, "A light has come among us. It has come suddenly, like the dawning of a new day. It has been prepared for from the beginning of time. The light and darkness were separated at the beginning of creation, but now they're united again, and one has overcome the other." So let's hold that thought of light and prayerfulness and pause the story while we sing again, Light of the World. Let's stand to sing.
Our reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40, on page 1028 of the Pew Bibles. That's Luke 2, starting at verse 39. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We've noted the need for patience and prayer, both of which form part of our final quality of faith, preparation. Simeon and Anna had seen Jesus because Mary and Joseph had brought them into the temple to do what was required by the law. They were preparing. Jewish law required that after the birth of a male child, the mother was regarded as unclean for 7 days and had to remain at home until the 40th day, when a purification service was offered. And they had to travel to Jerusalem for that. And Luke seems to have rather conflated that with the redemption required by law for the firstborn child, because the law didn't actually require the child to be present. But Mary seemed to have a special need and wanted to make a special offering of Jesus to God for his service, much as Hannah had done for Samuel in the temple. And our reading ends quite simply. They return to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And preparation for Jesus' ministry continued in what might be a fairly ordinary way. He stayed within his family and learned a trade. And it must have worked, because Luke says, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." But the point is, Jesus grew up. And as John Pridmore was writing in last week's Church Times and said, we need that framework, a sort of scaffolding, if you like, but we can't stay within it forever. We can't keep Jesus in the manger for the rest of the year or for the rest of ever. We need to grow up in the same way. We need to worship together, to pray together, but we also need to live and witness in the world. We need to grow up. So three great examples of faith, I think, which all demonstrate patience, prayer, and preparation. But in many ways, Simeon's words sum up the whole gospel, those words of the Nunc Dismissis, as we reflect on what patience, prayer, and preparation means for us in our journey of faith. So let's hear those words of Simeon again. This time we'll hear them in song, and there will be pictures on the screen as well. So those of you that want to look at pictures can also look at the pictures. So let's just listen to the Nunc Dimittis as we reflect on those words. Let's just have a moment's quiet, and then we'll say together the prayer that will be on the screen. So let's pray together the words on the screen. Heavenly Father, fill us with the knowledge of your will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that we may live a life worthy of you and please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of you, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to you, our Father, for you have qualified us to share in the inheritance of your holy people in the kingdom of light. You have rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son you love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen.